And a good afternoon to you. Thank you for being on board on a Thursday afternoon. Hit and miss showers. And the showers have locked the state line this week. And it's interesting. If you follow it out, it looks as if they are kind of making up right over top of Jocassee. And then they start moving east and travel up along the state line. And this is 3 days in a row that we've had one in the same place. And they're just popping up and building up. They're just right on the Oconee-Pickens border. And, of course, border with Transylvania County right there where the three corners come together. Glad to have you this afternoon. Appreciate you being with us on a Thursday. Got some traffic issues. It is... It's near 146, and I'm going to blame it on construction because I don't know what else to blame it on unless there was a wreck earlier, and I'm looking back to see. I don't see it. Anyway, we have slow traffic both directions, I-26. It's between the Blue Ridge Parkway, where it crosses 26, and Highway 146, there at Biltmore Park. It's right in the middle of that, and it's got traffic on both sides down to a slow. I mean, just look like you're crawling, so, or at least very slow right through there. And so here's what's going to happen. You're coming out by the airport. You're going to go about halfway out near Lake Julian, and that's where you'll get into the slower traffic. By the time you get to 146, you're on your brakes up the hill until you get beyond the parkway. And then it'll give a little bit of smooth sailing, and then it's going to slow back down again, and you'll be on your brakes again all the way to 191. Coming the other way, it's slow in the junction a little bit, but then once you get beyond that, it starts in that same place as you go up the hill to the parkway, going eastbound, down the hill, and then it picks back up about halfway down that hill before 146. But you'll be on and off your brakes between there and the airport this afternoon. 191 is busy. Let's see if I can figure out which way. Okay, both ways. So 191 is backed up about halfway through Sandy Bottom this afternoon, going north, and then going south about the same, but from Clayton Road back. So those two rows of traffic are kind of meeting right there in the middle at the tubing place. So, right in that section. If you look at some of the other secondaries, 112's all right, which is Sardis Road. The 25 and 25A, about like normal, maybe 25A just a little heavier than usual. In Asheville, on the today it's usually all westbound. Well, today it's also eastbound, right there in town, where 25 crosses under, right in that section, right there at the Civic Center. That section is slow between there and Town Mountain Road today, going eastbound. It's usually west, but today it's eastbound as well. All right, I'm looking westward and northward, looking toward the Tennessee line. We do have slowdown in the big curve before you get to Newfound Road, and that's on I-40 westbound. The big hill and then the S-curves and then the big curve, all that's off the pace. Probably trucks, but don't know exactly. But that is off the pace this afternoon, but it's not huge. And everything else looks pretty smooth into Tennessee if you're heading that direction. I'm looking Fontana Lake, Fontana Dam, looking westward. And, yeah, everything looks in pretty good shape over that direction. And, that was a marvel. Fontana Lake was an engineering marvel. Well, it was a marvel in that it was done during war. And what did building a lake have to do with the war? Well, to create electricity to power not only Alcoa, that was the rumor, because of all the aluminum needed for the building the airplanes, but it was also part of a great push to power the nuclear projects. And enriching uranium, that was a part of it. And Yeah, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, all part of that. Yeah, and Fontana was a part of that. That's why it was so quickly built, and that's why they worked the way they did. And a matter of fact, we were pushing to try to get enough electricity. And again, everybody thought it was just for the war effort, but they didn't realize it was because it took a lot of electricity for the enriching of uranium to create the first atomic weapons. Oh, yeah. All right, dropping down the mountain, we have traffic this afternoon in Greenville. The north side has been a little unusual past several days. I don't know if they've changed something, doing some more construction or what in and around Pelham. Today it extends down almost to the motor mile where the wait's at, and it's pretty slow up by 385, and then it tapers off time you get to Pelham. Coming the other direction, starts around BMW, comes down to just before Pelham, just past the airport there at 14. And then it'll pick back up. So not too awfully bad. And then in Spartanburg, what's all that about? It is, on 585, there's a little bit of backup in there around University of South Carolina. Yeah, right in there, the upstate, yeah, right in that section. But I don't know what that's for. But anyway, other than that, everything else looks like it's moving pretty good. When we're talking about storms, we're still watching that little one that's just popped up. It will be approaching Caesar's Head. It's not at Caesar's Head yet, but it's going to be approaching Caesar's Head. It's running the ridge, running the Eastern Continental Divide down through there. That's really the one that is threatening to us, and I don't believe the trajectory is going to be almost due east, so it's probably not even going to affect us. Just scattered showers here, yonder, and about, and that's what you can expect. And, you know, kind of hit and miss, just to be fair with you. That's what we're going to see. Tonight, you've got about a 60% chance, decreasing to 40%. Tomorrow, it's 60% most of the day. Tomorrow evening, 60% decreasing to 30%. Saturday, it's 30%, increasing to 60%. By Saturday evening, it's 30%. Sunday evening, 30%. Sunday night is the first time we don't have rain in the forecast, and Monday looks sunny. So we like that. And as I look at this, it looks like that this little cycle of rain may be out of here with a chance of showers, about a 30% for Sunday afternoon. But then I'm looking at temperatures going to be in the 80s, lows in the upper 50s to low 60s. And they have now changed it. I don't see rain in the forecast all the way through Thursday of next week. From Monday to Thursday, I don't see rain in the forecast. We'll see. We shall see. Yeah, that's a little unusual if that happens, especially in the month of June. The listener's portion of the operating budget today for the general budget being sponsored by the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church in thankfulness for their pastor, Philip Youngblood, and his family. And this is his 9th anniversary as pastor of the church. What about that? And we salute Brother Philip and congratulations on 9 years as pastor of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. His grandfather, Brother Lawrence Rhodes, pastored the same church for many, many years. And we appreciate this family a great deal. They have been friends indeed for a very long time, and we give God the glory. The network budget today is being sponsored by Amazing Grace Baptist Church in honor of all the missionaries that their church is able to support. We appreciate Amazing Grace and Pastor Breck Landreth and the folks there. God bless you. Appreciate them today. And the birthdays, Miss Frances Good is having a birthday. Congratulations. If you know of anyone else that's having a birthday or wedding anniversary, give us a call. Our telephone number is 577, our text line, rather, is 577-1296. And then our telephone number is 884-9427. And so I got a text that says no sound, but I don't tell me where. So because that we're heard on so many different channels, I'm not sure where we're talking about. So if you're having sound issues, if anybody else is, text me, please, 577-1296, so that we can try to run that down. Okay? All right. I appreciate you doing it. Well, see this going out of here. You've got a video feed that goes out of here for Facebook. You have got, of course, the AM feed. You've got the FM feed. You've got WGCR.net's feed. And so, yeah, they're all separate. And then you have the Facebook feed right now. Okay, it's on Facebook. We have no sound on Facebook, Michael. And so we'll see if we can get our guys some consult on that. Don't know why we would not have sound on Facebook. So I'm glad you told me that. We will see what we can do about it. Okay? We will see what we can do about it. Thank you. That's what I needed to hear. All right. Well, yep, and I've got it in two places. No sound on Facebook. Okay? Thank you. Let's see who's on the app this afternoon. This is on the ABN, Anchor Broadcasting Network app. And we have Anchorage, Alaska, Arden, North Carolina, Brevard, Columbia, Fort Mill, Greer, Hendersonville, Joplin, Missouri, Kies, Mecklenburg, Vorpommern, Germany. We've got Kokomo, Indiana, Lancaster, South Carolina, Lenore, North Carolina. We've got Miami, Florida, Nassau, New York, Noonan, Georgia, Plymouth, Minnesota, Raleigh, North Carolina, San Jose, California, Spartanburg, Silva, and a lot of folks we can't figure out where they are. All right, a lot of folks unknown today. Thank you for being on board. All right, thank you so much. And Flat Rock's with us. Thank you. Appreciate that. Greenville, South Carolina's on board. Thank you. Appreciate you being there. And, yeah, thank you so very much to all of you. Well, I hate to whine. I've tried to decide if I'm going to tell you or not. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm getting self-conscious. I'm serious. I went home told my wife. I said, "Honey, we need to check up." She goes, "Why?" I said, "Cause it just don't happen like this." And so Blake, do everything you call whoever you need to. All right, get that fixed, please. We're having water problems again. I know. It started at the FM, the Mountain House. And our pump went out. And it was an ongoing problem. It would go out during the shower. It would go out, whatever. Anyway, we ended up pulling that thing out. It was 800 feet deep. Yeah. Of course, it's on top of a 3,000-foot mountain. So it's 800 feet till we got water. And there was only like 40 feet of water in the bottom of the thing. So not much water. Like 2 gallons a minute is all it has. It's not much. But not much storage at all. And so we had to put new pipe, we had to put new wire, had to put a new pump, had to put a new motor controller. And so, it was quite expensive. Now, it was over $4,000. So in the same week, within 3 days, the Mission House went out. And so we put new... I'm still getting messages that we have nobody, Blake. All right, that we still don't have any, still don't have sound on Facebook. The Mission House went out, and so we put in new pump there. They called me today and said we're out of water at the church. Well, the church's well is over 400 feet deep. It is a community well, meaning that it meets all of the state requirements for like a housing development, or even it's the same testing and everything requirements as a city has. And so it's over 400 feet deep. I appreciate Macquarie Well Drilling. They pulled off of another job. They came down, pulled the pump. I started work on it, and I was getting, I had a motor controller. I had a reset that was out. and then I was getting this odd read, and I finally figured out I was getting 120 on each of the legs of the controller my mind's blank. I was getting 120 on either side, but I couldn't get 220 across the legs. And so what it was, I was getting backfed, and it was backfeeding through the coil of the solenoid. And so it was backfeeding through the coil of the solenoid, and it was feeding out of the leg. So when I found that out, it was a reset. So I didn't have a reset, so I bypassed the reset, throwed power to the pump, and it pulled 47 amps, no water. It was about to melt the wire. Of course, that because I jumped around that reset. Anyway, took it apart and got in touch with Macquarie's. They came. They pulled all afternoon. They've been pulling all afternoon. And they got it out, and that pump broke off even. That pipe broke off even with the pump. It had torqued itself and had broke completely in two. And apparently, and I say apparently, it's hard to say, but today when I was getting that kind of amperage, I was getting, you know, like it was as if it was froze up. And I think it was. And then I think we kept throwing the power to it and torqued it. And Matt hung a new motor controller. And when he did, I think it sheared itself. I think's what happened. And so as soon as somebody monitoring Facebook for me, as soon as we get sound back, let me know so I can let Blake know that we're back up. At any rate, we have no water here on the building, on the property. The well is pulled, and we have stuff laying everywhere. Okay, it's working now. Okay, Blake, we got it. It's working. So we've got to get a pump, got to get new pipe, new wire, the whole thing, new motor controller. And something that I found when I looked in the top of the pump, big old metal shards of rust. I was trying to figure out where those come from because it's inside PVC pipe, and I got to realizing that well has a steel casing that goes down. And those rust flecks are coming off that steel casing and falling down in there. That pump has picked those up, and that may very well be what had that thing seized. And we kept hitting it, kept torquing it, and it flexed itself into it and broke. Had it not been for the wire going down into the top of the well, we would have lost that pump down in the bottom of that well. Couldn't have got it out. There was no pull rope on it. Yeah. But wait, there's more. Brother Blanton came over and he said he was there when I was trying to diagnose it, see what the issue was. He left and he called me and he said, "You're not going to believe this, nor do you want to take this call." I said, "Try me." He said, "I'm out of water at the mission house." Sure enough, I know better than this, but it was after hours. We put an old bladder tank back in service, and you don't do that. You know, I know better than that, but it was after hours. You couldn't even get one. And so we put an old bladder tank back in service, and it blew out. So I've got two places without water at the same time. Well, I mean, I don't know how you are, but let me tell you how I am. When I have number one, I don't believe in luck, okay? And when I start having bad luck, quote unquote, I always try to check up, make sure we're doing right, and I'm very serious. Now, a lot of it has to do with it being old. I don't know that this pump here has ever been changed. I don't think it has. I may be wrong, but I don't think it has. I think it's the same pump, the same wire, and the same pipe that was put in somewhere in the 90s. We had a perfectly good well, but the 1994 Clean Water Act that Bill Clinton signed into law said that our well was no longer valid. Even though it was on our property, we did not own enough area because the state right-of-way had come through, and so the state owned, we had to have so many feet from the top of our well, and we did not have that. We had to pour our well full of concrete. We had sweet water fresh, good, plenty of clean water. We had to pour it full of concrete, and we had to go down in the field and drill, and we hit iron. And and then we had to filter it, and then we have to chlorinate it and do all these things. It cost us about $45,000, that one little stroke of a pen of Bill Clinton. You know, cost Anchor about $45,000, and over the years, as far as maintenance, it's cost way more than that. But as far as I know, I've never changed that pump. We have raised it, and that would be why that extra wire's in there. I just happened to think of that. That would be why. And that would also, that would make sense. So I can't remember if it was 420 feet and the pump hung at about 400, which is probably going to be right as well, because we had to raise the well. We actually had to extend it and raise it up when we built the warehouse because it was below grade. And so we raised the whole thing up. And in doing so, that probably explains it. So, yeah, that's probably the original one. Okay? This is probably the original pump. So the Lord's been good to us. I cannot complain about that. And, you know, but I tell you, you know, most pastors don't get the blessing of being around long enough to redo something like that. You know, if you want to call it that. I'm just saying that, you know, God's let me stay 37 years, and so we're on second and third round of a lot of things, you know, that have went kaput, you know, over the time. I think I shared with you that, how long did I say the other one lasted? The mission house, the old church? Well, how much was it? 30-something years? I think it was 30. I think we saw on the well, what was it, 885? I think it was 36 years that pump had lasted. So you can't complain about that. But anyway, we had distribution today, and we've been out of water. So people have been having to go elsewhere to use the restroom. But thankfully, we didn't have school and other things in place. And we've got, people have been going to some of the other staff houses to shower and things of that nature. But I do appreciate McQuarrie. Well Drilling Pump Service. I appreciate them. I told him, I said, they're going to want to block my number. I first said, you're going to have to delete it. And then I said, no, you need to block it. Leave it in there, then block it. Because I never call and say good news. No, I never do. It's always bad news. Here, let me tell you what I did, though. Just to be a smart aleck, this is what I did. We had two go bad in a row. And I can't remember now what I was calling him about, something. So I called Matt, and I said, you're not going to believe this. I got bad news. And he said, don't tell me. And I said, no, just kidding. I told him, just kidding. And I forgot I had to ask him about something. I don't remember what it was. And maybe about the bill or about something. And he said, don't tell me you got another one. And I said, no, I'm just kidding. Well, I got paid back for that today. So I've got my third well pump being changed. And then the pressure tank on the second one being changed out right as we speak. But other than that, it's been a good day. So, oh my goodness. My. Well, it has been a good day. Let me tell you why. I got a call this morning. And there's a brother, he never wants his name mentioned, ever, ever, ever. But he wanted to do something. And he said, the Lord's put it on my heart to give $1,000 to help feed. And of course, things have locked down now in the Philippines. And he said, I want to give it anonymously, but I want to give it. And this is his words. I wrote it down. In honor of the indelible mark Roger Walton has made on so many. So this is $1,000 gift for COVID relief for the Philippines. And of course, I designated that. But he said, wherever we need it, in honor of Roger Walton. And he said, I want to give that while he can hear it be read. And so, Brother Walton, an indelible mark. And I said, I want to quote you, because, you know, indelible means it's not going to erase, you know, with a pencil. It is this made in pen, the indelible mark that Roger Walton has made on this world, and the indelible mark he has made on so many people. $1,000 gift. And of course it goes to the feeding, and of course that's Brother Walton's heart. When I was out last fall and he was trying to raise money, when I was out with my back, when I was out with COVID, he was in the middle of fundraising for two or three different projects. And his wife said that he literally would push back from the table and said, "I can't eat a bite. Not till I get this money raised. I just can't eat, knowing those kids are hungry." And his wife said that. And so, hallelujah, in the name of, in honor of Brother Walton, I've already got the money transferred. It's already going to work. Already going to work. And so, to God be the glory, 14 different churches, we split it amongst them. Give them a little bit each to help. 14 in the affected area where the lockdown is so very bad. So you might think about that if the Lord has used someone in your life, you know, giving something in honor of them. I think it's real good. It touched my heart. It really did. I was looking forward to reading that this afternoon. I just felt like that was a real good thing. And it might be that there's others that say, "Yeah, I want in on that. I want to do some of that. I want to do something like that." Then, amen. Well, Brianna is answering phones this afternoon, and so, you know, we're certainly grateful to the Lord, and certainly grateful for the Lord's people. I sure am. I want to share with you this. I just got this. This is from the Carzion family in Cochabamba, where I'm supposed to be this week in meeting. And it says, "Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters. We want to thank God because on Tuesday, almost at night, Pastor Franz was able to leave the hospital heading to our house. He is not yet discharged. He needs a lot of care. The doctor's coming to check that everything is going well. Also, physical therapist is working daily and says that all this time we have seen God's love and mercy in his servant. Thank you all for your prayers and the expressions of affection that we've received. We know that the Lord will work in the life and recovery of the shepherd in the Lord's time. We continue to trust in our great God. We love you in the Lord, the Carzion family." And of course, Brother Carzion is still unable to speak. And they fear now that they left the, of course, it was that or die. I mean, he had no choice. He couldn't breathe. So they left him on the, you know, on the breathing machine, on the, you know, intubated too long possibly. And it has paralyzed his vocal cords. Some say that it's possible that'll come back. Others say that if it's a result of a stroke, if his vocal cords and his throat is paralyzed, then it's possibly a stroke in a part of the brain, that it may not be recoverable. It just, we don't know. Because, of course, he still has the tracheotomy, and so we don't know. But Brother Franz was much healthier in mind than I am. I'm very serious. He was diabetic, but it was very much controlled. But he was very healthy. And, of course, he's the pastor that Eden Johnson went down to help start a Christian school. And then, of course, the government toppled, and they voted in communism again. And so they run them off, and then they voted them back in. And so the chances of having a Christian school there slim to none. So anyway, but we are certainly praying for Brother Franz. We're certainly praying, and I say slim then, right now. Who knows what God will do in the future. But right now, under the current political climate, there's not much opportunity for anything, advancement of the gospel there in that part of the world, at least for right now. So may the Lord help us. And may God be pleased to continue to intervene in Brother Franz's life. We sure do hope folks will pray. Well, I'm going to change gears completely. The federal government has set some new records. Yep, the federal government has broken all new records. They have now more people. Remember what Donald Trump said? He said, we get people back to work, they're going to pay taxes. And said they're going to pay record amount of taxes. And said it's going to be huge. Remember that? Remember his phrase? It's going to be huge. Well, it happened. The fiscal year began in October, and it's through May. So this is the first 8 months. Now, this is according to the Treasury statement that comes out monthly. Federal taxes in the United States hit an all-time high. The federal government collected $2.6 trillion. Yeah. $2.6 trillion, and it gets on, it's even higher than that, it's in the billions, but $2.6 trillion. And then, but here's the problem. You say, well, that's good. Well, it is. But the spending also climbed to a new record of $4.6 trillion in the same period. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to do the math. We spent twice as much as we took in. So our federal deficit increased by $2 trillion in just 8 months. Yeah. It is not a record. It is the second highest tax revenue, the second highest in history. The greatest was October through May of 2016. So it's staggering to me that we're spending money like drunken sailors on a furlough. We're wanting to spend even more money. We haven't even spent the money that's been allocated, but we're wanting to even give more and spend more. So, yeah. Anyway, we're in trouble. We're in very much trouble. Spending to making ratio. There's a table I'm trying to make sense out of. It's the federal deficit sets record through May. Okay, I've got that. There's a table that lists tax receipts by source and expenditures by function. And it lists the largest spending category so far in this fiscal year as income security, which means that the federal government has laid out $1.2 trillion. Do you know how much a trillion is? Well, six zeros, a number, if it was a one and six zeros, that's a million. If it's a one and nine zeros, let me think about that a minute. Then that's a billion. Yeah. A trillion is a one with 12 zeros behind it. That's $1 trillion. So in other words, you go 999 million, and then you go 1 billion. And then you go 999 billion, and it goes 1 trillion. So we spent $1.27 trillion since October. Income security. And so it's all this is made up. It's general retirement, disability insurance, federal employee retirement and disability, including military retirement, unemployment compensation, housing assistance, nutrition assistance, and other income security, which includes programs like foster care, SSI, and earned income and child tax credits. So in addition to the $1.27 trillion that we spent in 8 months on income security, the government also spent $749 billion, which is three-quarters of a trillion, on Social Security. And $454 billion on Medicare. Defense spending was a half trillion in that same time frame. Somebody said, well, what does that mean? It means that we're spending more than we're taking in. We're spending more than we're earning. We're spending more than we're making. And there's going to be a payday someday. And, of course, 7896 says if the government needs more money, they just print it. So I wish I was the government. Well, here's the problem with that. If you print more money, okay, let's do it this way. Let's say that you're getting ready to have pie for supper. And there are four of you, and you've got a pie. So each of you are going to get 25% of a pie. You're going to get a quarter of a pie. The slice is going to be a big one, a big helping. Some Cool Whip on top of it. It's going to be good. And suddenly your brother knocks on the door, and him and his wife and two kids come in. Well, it's already on the table. You've not cut it yet. Well, you did cut it, but you've not served it. Well, you got to invite them in for pie. Here's the problem. Now you got to cut each one of those big old quarter slices in half. Now you don't get a quarter of a pie anymore. You only get an eighth of a pie. Eighth of a slice. An eighth of one pie in a slice. See what I'm saying? Every time the government, they call it quantitative easing. Every time the government spends money, the money's worth less. How do I know? The money that was given today in honor of Roger Walton, in the days of Donald Trump, in the early days of Donald Trump, I could get 54 pesos to one American dollar in the Philippines. Today, when I sent money, I only got 45 pesos to the dollar. Do the math. Go from 54 to 45. So how much did we lose? If you round at 10, 10 off of 50 is what? 20%. That's how much the American dollar has been devalued against the Philippine currency. If you start looking at other currencies, you'll find that we are in the same boat, that we have been, we are losing ground on the national scale, that we're losing ground, and that we have not gotten, we're not getting near the money for our, I mean, people around the world are no longer as key on our money as they once were. And so may God help us if at whatever point the American dollar stops being the international reserve currency, we're in trouble, especially given that most of what we buy now comes from overseas. You see, that don't affect you if everything you do is inside the country and everything that they made it with is inside the country, then you don't have that big of an issue. That's how they're surviving in Venezuela. Their money against the American dollar is worth almost nothing. But as long as you buy things grown, made, and assembled in Venezuela, you're okay. But if you have to come up with something outside of that, you're in trouble. See what I'm talking about? Well, you can't buy hardly anything. I did see this a while ago. I saw that Lowe's has got lawn tractors. About that. Yeah, they've not had a riding lawn tractor, and I don't know when. Yeah, you couldn't get them. Can't get them at any price. So what's this done with everything else? Well, let me just look, show you where we're at today. I haven't looked at this in a long time. Can you believe that that Texas crude is selling today at $70 a barrel? Remember last year when it went in the negative numbers? Yeah, negative numbers. September of this past year, it was $37 a barrel. In October the 28th, just before the election, it was $36 a barrel. So a week before the election, it's $36 a barrel. Today, it closed at $70.09 a barrel. So double, with lacking a few pennies. It's exactly double what it was. Brent crude's even more, and that's $72. Natural gas is up to $3.15. So, oh yeah. Gold today is closing at over $1,900 an ounce. $1,900. And by the way, that's not a record. No. No, that's not the record. What is the record? The record was set on August the 4th last year when gold crossed the block at $2,034.40. Yep. That was the high. Well, yeah, $2,034.40 on August the 4th. To my knowledge, that's the highest that an ounce of gold has ever fetched. As far as I know, it is the absolute most that's ever brought. But we're off that now, 1901, but it has been climbing. It fell a pretty big chunk. It dropped off to about 1700 in March, and it hit a low in there around in the 1700s, 1696, actually, on March the 4th. And it has been progressively climbing, and it is now, again, closing at over 1900. So that's pretty amazing. Silver, well, the highest that silver has ever sold, to my knowledge, was the first day of February this year, $26.65. That's not true, because the close on it today beat it. So is today an all-time record on silver? Let me look. I'm checking the high peaks. I think it is. I think silver has just hit at least a one-year record. But I believe it's an all-time. Silver closing at 28 today. Yeah, that's a big one. Well, you got to remember, this time last year, on June the 9th, 2020, silver was $17. $17.08. And if you go back to the same time frame with gold, this time last year, on this day last year, gold was $1,736. And it dropped to $722 on June the 15th. So it actually was in a fall. And, of course, now it's up by, so it's over $1,900 right now. Yeah, and then if you start looking at other things, if you start looking at other commodities, if you start looking at, especially at currencies, then you see really the impact that it's having. And our debt ratio here, our debt is so high that people are just, other people are skeptical. And somebody said, well, preacher, how long can this keep up? Well, I liken it unto a high-stakes poker game. And that is, in other words, it'll keep it up until somebody folds, And when they do, then there's trouble. But as long as people keep betting good money after bad, it'll keep going up. The Dow today, 34,486. Let me say it again, 34,486. That was where the Dow was today, and it was up 19. The NASDAQ closing at over 14,000 today, 14,020.33. And the S&P up 19.63, closing at 4239.18. We're still, okay, right now we're getting ready to go into the doldrums. Once we get past the 4th of July, once those the mid-year reports start coming in, you'll go into the doldrums. Right now, everybody's trying to make that last little bit of money, you know, before we get too deep into the summer. I was going to mention this: the euro is trading at $1.22 to 1 euro. So if you went to Europe right now and you needed to get euro to spend, if you gave them $1,220, they would give you only 1,000 euro. Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, the British pound, it's more valuable than that. It's $1.41. And so, $1.41. So on the upside, the Japanese yen, 0.01. Canadian dollar. And here's a trick. A lot of the Canadians, they bring their coins. They save coin and they bring it to the U.S. They bring it across the border and they spend it because it'll spend. But they're making money on it. Right now, the Canadian dollar is only worth 83 cents. So if you go to the border area, you cross into Canada, and they ring up your meal and they say it's going to be $10, and you pull out American, they'll hit a button on the cash register and say, oh, $8.30 is all it's going to cost American. Yeah. In China, the yuan, and they say, well, it's yuan, I know, but I said yuan. Anyway, it's 16 cents. Yeah, it's worth 16 cents against our dollar. So the British pound's worth more than ours. The euro's worth more than ours. And then, of course, these others are worth less. And it just all depends on what people's fears are and where people's confidence lies. And somebody asked me this question, and I didn't answer it. So let me answer this a couple of days ago. How have the markets done year to date? Okay, good question. These are not today's numbers, but be close. The Dow has gained 12.61% on the year, and the first 5 months and a week. The NASDAQ is up 8.78 on the year, and the S&P is up 12.86 on the year. So, and it is. I am too. I'm a little surprised about that. That it's that good. Yeah. So anyway. Somebody was saying that thought that silver was was near 50 in the 80s. I sold some silver in the Jimmy Carter era. Right when Carter got out and when Reagan first went in. Matter of fact, I sold my class ring. It was worth so much. And then I sold everything I had, and but I don't remember it getting that high. But I just don't remember it getting that high. I know it was high, but I don't remember it getting that high. It seemed like it was I sold silver dollars for around the $20 mark is where I think they were, somewhere in that range. But then of course I didn't have any more, so no need for me to follow it anymore. Yeah. Well, we talked about it a long time that. if you look at it, where silver hung out for a very long time. It was a goodbye, good way to invest. Gold never would go back down. It got up there and stayed, you know, in the $1,200 range, and it just wouldn't correct. Platinum dropped back, silver dropped back, gold wouldn't. So it never was. I just felt like it was overpriced. But now, given it's 1900, huh? I used to say that gold was good insulation, it's good insurance. Yeah, gold was good insurance, but not necessarily good investment. Well, that's no longer the case. That's an old strategy. That's no longer the case. It used to be everybody would run to gold when the markets go bad. Right now, the markets are crazy, and gold is too, and silver is too. Platinum still has not done what I thought it would do. I've still wondered about that one. I never have figured that one out. But if you will watch, man, the grains are going crazy. All of the commodities are just going crazy. Everything is going to be so much more expensive. Oh, listen. Yeah, it's going to come around to get us. I promise you it's going to get us. Yeah. So may God help us. May God help us. And the problem is Social Security is not going up. The problem is, you know, your power bill's not coming down. All these fixed income things, they're not coming down. And God's people are going to have to manage, you know, going to have to manage with what we've got. And, of course, and foreign governments are buying up gold by the ton, literally. Yeah, they are. And probably for when they dump the dollar, yeah, as their reserve currency. So, and it's going to change. So how much will it change? Given where we are right now, there was a day when we were the manufacturing center of the world and people wanted our goods more than they wanted anything. I mean, we were the place. I heard it argued in accounting when I was in college. I heard it argued way back then. I've heard professors go at it and talk about it and deal with the different philosophies, and I listened to them. But at that time, again, we were a self-sufficient nation. Other than a few imported foods, we grew everything and made everything we needed. Man, how that's changed in the past 20 years. And so now, to lose our position as the reserve currency and to lose, and us having to buy everything abroad, oh, man. Hey, the problem is we can't even make that stuff. We sold the equipment. We sold the machines to China, India. We can't even produce anything hardly. And our raw materials coming overseas. That's why there's no sheetrock mud. That's why there's no Avantech. That's why there's no rosin boxes. That's why there are all of these things. You can't even buy it. And the reason is because it comes from overseas. And so COVID has put a thing on top of that. And then the American businesses that you want to succeed, they've gotten involved. The whole outfit in Georgia and the Voter Identification Act and some of the most American companies, iconic American companies, coming out against that, supporting the whole Black Lives Matter and the cancel culture. And then this month to see all the people who's coming out for Gay Pride Month and all the businesses and all the commercials and all the mess. It makes you want to, I mean, it don't. It makes you not want to shop America. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah, American companies have lost their way and good enough for them. But, the problem is, Europe. Yeah, the socialist states of Europe, they require voter ID. Well, what is it? What does it mean? You can't get welfare without ID. You can't get anything without ID. So why would you not want to have ID when you vote? So that people maybe couldn't vote two or three times, or vote in multiple precincts, or what? What's the deal? Well, I just keep saying, suppressing the vote, really. What, the voting three times? What suppression of voting? What? Say, well, people might be wanted for a crime. Well, they ought to be arrested. If they're wanted for a crime, they ought to be arrested when they go to vote. A lot of people stand there arresting people. I'm all for it. If they're fugitives from the law, arrest them. Don't need to be voting anyway. And by the way, if they're convicted of felon, it takes their rights to vote anyhow. Or can. So anyway. All right. Well, thank you for being with us this afternoon. Thank the Lord for His mercy. Can I tell you something? And I hate to break this to you. If your hope is in this world and in this world system, you're just about hopeless at this point. But if your hope is in the world to come, I've got good news. They have devalued gold in heaven to the point they pave the streets with it. Yep. Yep. Just saying. The only thing, though, that we can take to heaven with us, of all of these things on this earth, the only thing we can take to heaven with us is our family, our friends, our neighbors. May we get busy worrying about the Great Commission and not about making commission on our investments. Let's seek the Lord together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may your will be done. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get our priorities right. And Lord, may we put first things first to your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. And Lord Jesus, I ask you and pray, Lord, for understanding, for wisdom. Lord, we can't hardly stand to see the biblical values, American values, eroded around us. And Lord, at the same time, we understand that you said it would be this way. So Lord, help us, I pray, not to drive our tent pegs too deep. Help us to be good citizens, good Americans. Help us to be good patriots while we're here. But Lord, help us to be mindful that we're just pilgrims passing through. And help us not to drive our tent pegs too deep for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you is our prayer.